This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptizer, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed Jesus on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and Jesus had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to the disciples, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." The disciples replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." Then Jesus ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. In Jacob's life, he has 2 truly remarkable experiences with God. The first we read a couple weeks ago, when Jacob has the dream that we often call Jacob's ladder. The second we read today, when the divine being wrestles with Jacob. And what strikes me about these 2 experiences is the state that Jacob is in when God comes to him in these remarkable ways. In both of these experiences, Jacob's world is in utter chaos. In the first, Jacob has stolen his brother's birthright and then his brother's blessing by lying to their blind father. Jacob then runs away from home in fear for his life. He's completely alone. His life is in shambles. And God comes to him. In the midst of that chaos, in the midst of all of his life just crumbling around him, God comes to Jacob in a dream. In the second remarkable experience, Jacob is on the run again. After 20 years, he leaves the land of his father-in-law, Laban, after Laban's sons accuse him of cheating their father. Jacob flees with Leah and Rachel and all of their children. But the land they are going to does not seem all that much better for Jacob, for he's returning home to the brother he cheated and whom he fears still wants to kill him. Jacob's life is again in chaos. It's full of fear, full of some anger, full of change and the unknown. And in the midst of that, God comes to Jacob and wrestles with him. In his life, Jacob has these 2 truly remarkable experiences with God. And both of them happen when Jacob's world is just a mess. Now, I don't know about all of you, but I feel like there is a lot of messiness in my world. feels like our political climate is more volatile than it's been in a long time. I know that many of us have fears about finances. Can we pay off debt? Do we have enough savings? Can we afford our mortgage, our rent, our medicine, our electric bill that just keeps seeming to go up? Many of us have fears about the state of our environment. Social issues feel more pressing. And I know we have fears about our health. So many of us have loved ones who are experiencing serious health concerns. Those come with financial fears and quality of life fears, as well as the very basic fear that somebody we love is hurting, that someone we love could die. And for some of us, it's our own health that we worry about, and what will happen to our loved ones when we're sick. There's a lot of messiness and a lot of chaos in our world. I named just a few things impacting us, and I am absolutely sure that you all could add your own items to that list. The things that make your world feel like it's in shambles and chaotic and messy. There's a lot of chaos in our world, which is why I think that Jacob's story continues to resonate with us. For it is in the midst of that chaos and that messiness and that fear that God is so clearly present in Jacob's life. First, God comes to Jacob in rest. When Jacob is finally able to lay his head down and sleep after running away in fear, God comes to him in a dream. In this moment, God knows that what Jacob needs the most is rest. He needs Sabbath. In our chaotic world, God knows that there are times that what we need the most is rest. We need Sabbath. We need to sleep. We need to do the things that fill us up and rejuvenate our spirits. We need to do the things that fill us with peace and with joy, with hope, and most of all, with love. There's a reason that on the seventh day of creation, God rests. There is a reason that keeping the Sabbath is one of our Ten Commandments. When our lives are in chaos, God knows that sometimes what we need the most is to rest in the presence of God. And so, that is where God meets us, in dreams, in rest, and in Sabbath. And there are times that when our lives are in chaos, what we need most is to fight. The second time that God comes to Jacob in such a clear manner is when God and Jacob wrestle together. Jacob is hurt and angry and afraid. After living with his father-in-law for 20 years, working side by side with his brothers-in-law, seems like they turned on Jacob. He must have felt betrayed and hurt and angry. And he's afraid of what his brother Esau will do when they meet again. I think that God knows in this moment of chaos in Jacob's life, he needs to let some of that hot anger out. My siblings, the messiness and the chaos in our world and our lives, it can make us angry. I know I am. I'm angry that there are people in our world who cannot afford food. I'm angry that there are wars that put the lives of civilians and service people at risk. I fear for members of our congregation who have loved ones in service. I'm angry that our climate is so damaged that we are all at more risk of natural disaster. I'm angry that when my dad was in the hospital, he was so over-medicated that we were told he was dying. And I'm angry that that happens to other families too. There are times that I just want to scream with that anger. And those are the times that God comes to me to wrestle. God wrestles with me. I talk to God, and I debate with God. I demand guidance and blessing from God, just like Jacob demanded that blessing. And I let some of that hot anger out by going on very long walks with my dog or even aggressively weeding my garden. I choose in my anger to wrestle with God. Because screaming at the world or taking my anger out on others, it doesn't create the loving world that God calls us to and that I really want. It just does more harm. But I do think that God knows that sometimes we need to let that anger out. Just like God knew that Jacob needed to get that anger out. So God wrestles with us. God listens to our anger. God feels that pain that truly is the root of that anger. And when we are exhausted and even wounded from that anger, God is there with a blessing. Our minds are clearer, and we are able to move now from anger to healing and to love. Just like Jacob's mind was clearer after wrestling with God, and it put him in a better state of mind to go meet his brother Esau for the first time in 20 years. It's better to let that anger out in healthy ways than to bottle it up or direct it at someone else. For when our anger and our pain draw us to wrestle with God, we walk away with a blessing that draws us closer to love. And love is what Jesus calls us to in our gospel lesson today. Once again, the context is chaos. Jesus' cousin, John the Baptizer, has just been executed by beheading. Jesus is probably afraid and angry and in so much pain at the death of his cousin. And so he tries to go find rest. But the crowds, they are so desperate for healing and compassion. Their world, their lives is in so much chaos that they follow Jesus. And even as tired as Jesus is, he will not turn them away. When Jesus' world is in utter chaos at the death of his cousin, he chooses to act with love. He meets the chaos of the crowds with food and with compassion. But the disciples, when their world is chaos, they would love to send those crowds away. And boy, do I empathize with them. It feels so much easier to say that the chaos of this world is not my problem. Send them away. You're hungry? That sounds like a you problem. Gosh, wouldn't it be so much easier to say that the chaos of our world isn't our problem? But Jesus doesn't let us get away with that. When the crowds are hungry, he says to the disciples, "You feed them." The crowds are hungry, and to Jesus, that sounds like an us problem. Jesus calls us to meet the chaos of our world with compassion. For this chaos is not hypothetical to him. It's not some philosophical problem. The chaos and that pain, it's about real people who are really hurting. And when real people come to Jesus with real problems, he meets them with real compassion. And when the disciples answer the call to act in that love, they experience the blessing of Jesus too. What they believed was absolutely impossible, feeding some 15,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? They thought was impossible. And yet there were 12 baskets of leftovers. And all ate, and all were filled. When the disciples answer that call to love and to compassion, they experience it too. They are fed and filled just like the crowds. My siblings, when our world and when our lives are in chaos, when we are carrying a lot of pain, it's not easy. It hurts, and it's confusing, and it's exhausting. And as we experience it, we find that we might have different needs at different times. Sometimes we need that holy rest. Sometimes we need to let that hot anger out by wrestling with God. Sometimes we need Jesus to call us to compassion and to love. And sometimes we are the ones who need Jesus to feed us with that compassion and that love. So my siblings, whatever that messiness or that chaos or that pain is that you carry, whatever hurts you are carrying, know that God meets you with exactly what you need so that you are blessed and that you are loved. Amen.